If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam dini wal azam ghayru dini Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about banking in this episode and the upcoming episodes, hopefully, or inshallah, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we start our program, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, as always. We are talking about banking, financial matters, and silent partnership, and so on and so forth. Well, Sheikh Javid, let me ask you about Muzaraba. What's that according to Islam?
Well, Muzaraba is a partnership in profit whereby one party provides capital and the other party provides skill and labor. And of course, the provider of capital is called Sahibul Mal, okay, Sahibul Mal, or the owner of the property, or the owner of money.
Yes.
While the provider of the skill and labor is called Mudarib, okay. He is actually an agent. He is acting, you know, as an agent working on behalf of the Sahib al-Mal, or the owner of the property.
Yes.
So actually there are two partners. One is the agent and the other is the owner of the wealth or asset or money that is invested. So this is what we mean by Mudaraba, and this is what the scholars actually mean when they speak about Mudaraba. So, of course, the amount, the money, is 100% from the investor, you know.
Right.
And the agent has no money, you know. He could have it, but usually, as in most cases, it is the Sahib al-Mal, it is the owner of the, or the provider of capital, that puts money, and then there is someone who works with the money. So the profit is in that case shared by both the agent and the provider of capital in according to the percentage agreed by both parties to the contract.
I see. Sheikh Javid, is this kind of contract or silent partnership permissible in other forms, like, for example, in the form of, let's say, gold or silver currencies?
Well, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, there is no objection to a silent partnership being conducted in banknotes that are used nowadays. So banknotes are now used in place of gold and silver, because gold and silver used to be used in the early period of Islamic history and in the time immemorial. But now they have been replaced, and no longer gold and silver are used for like bartering, for buying things, or as something used in exchange for commodities. In modern time, of course, they are using banknotes, and banknotes can be used for silent partnership. And it, of course, it's not permissible, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, to be conducted in merchandise. You know, that silent partnership cannot be conducted in goods or in merchandise. Of course, banknotes can be used, and the same is true with gold and silver, which used to be used in the early period of Islam.
I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back and continue our questions in this program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Don't go away. Back to the program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. With me, Mahajad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about financial matters, banking, silent partnership, and the like. Sheikh Javid, is it okay? Is it permissible to make use of a silent partnership contract in domains such as production, services, distribution, and the trade, and are the contracts of present-day silent partnerships outside the commercial arena concluded under this definition legal?
Well, according to His Eminence Ayatollah Khamenei, a silent partnership contract should be confined to investing the capital in trade. What does it mean? It means that the capital should be invested in buying and selling only. And of course, using the capital under this title in domains of, let's say, production, distribution, services, and others is not permissible. For example, if you use the money which is supposed to be used in buying and selling things, you use it for providing services or for distributing, let's say, things among poor people, let's say, yes. Because it's not going to yield any benefit, and there is only distribution, there is only services that you offer. And in that case, of course, it's not permissible according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei. And Ayatollah Khamenei also says that, of course, there is no objection to resorting to other Shari contracts such as Juala and such as Sulh. Of course, it can be made permissible in those areas as well.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. I took some money from a friend of mine through silent partnership. It was agreed first that I would return the money with an extra amount in addition to it, right, added to the original capital after a period of time.
Yes.
I gave part of this money to another friend of mine who was in need of it. It was agreed with the latter that he would settle one-third of the markup. Is this type of dealing legitimate? Is that permissible?
Well, taking money from someone on condition that it would be paid back after a while with an extra amount added to it, of course, does not fall under the silent partnership.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a kind of contract. It is purely, I can say, it is kind of, it is riba, and it's usury, because you receive money and you, with the condition that you pay him back the principal amount along with some interest or with some additional amount. So this riba. Is nothing but but riba.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, taking the money as silent partnership does not amount to borrowing. The money will not become the property of the working partner. And His Eminence says that this means that the property of the original. The money remains the property of the original owner, and the working partner can still, trade in it. And, of course, the owner and the working partner share the profits made in accordance with the partnership they agreed. And as long as there is, of course, a lawful partnership, there is no problem and there is no objection to the owner and the working partner to receive and to divide the profit gained. And of course, the recipient of the money, as you said, does not have any right to lend the money to a third party, because he is the one who is responsible, who is in charge, and he must not misappropriate. He must not misuse the money, giving it to someone else against the contract, because it's a kind of breaching the contract. It's a kind of violation of the contract.
Mm-hmm. I see. A very quick question, Sheikh Javid. We don't have much time till the end of this program or this episode. What's the view on borrowing money under the title of silent partnership from people who charge between 4 to 5% or monthly, as a profit according to the contract?
Well, again, if you look at this, we clearly, the name silent partnership does not change anything.
Mm-hmm.
The name is kind of deceptive, because many people come to believe that, okay, this is going to be Mudaraba, this is silent partnership, I'm going to be one of the parties to the investment, so this is going to be the profit that's going to be, that I'm going to receive is going to be halal. So The title does not change anything.
Right.
And of course, borrowing money in this way has nothing to do with
right.
silent partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it is a kind of riba. It is a kind of contract that is based on riba, and it will become, it's not permissible. It is a kind of deception. And it's just giving a name to a usury, to what we a contract which is based on usury, and therefore the money which is given, the 4% or the 5% amount increase or
yes.
additional amount that is given to the owner of the capital,
mm-hmm.
Is obviously haram and illicit.
Okay, thank you very much, Shavid, and thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن.